Okay, we'll start our post-race Quaker 400 race-winning team's press conference. We're joined in the media center by the ownership group of Furniture Row Racing, team owner Barney Visser and Joe Garoni. Barney, let's start off with you. Another dominant race from the 78 team, leading the series in playoff points with 28. So the championship potential must feel pretty good. Maybe talk about that and the race tonight.
Well, that's been our goal all year, is to get where we're at here, I guess, leading the points. We're trying to get Eric up there where we want him, and I think he's starting to really show what he's capable of doing. But that's where we want to be. Great.
Joe, how about you on that one?
Oh, it's just amazing. I mean, it was to have the kind of race we had with all the stage wins, and then, he had a pretty big lead. And that's phenomenal. It says a lot about the race team and just great accomplishments all year. And I think it continues to build momentum. You know, when you have these kinds of runs and you go back into Denver and into the shop, all the guys that have been pouring their guts into it are just super hyped up. And, you know, it's a good way to carry momentum into the rest of the races here leading into the playoffs.
Thank you, Joe. Start off with Jerry.
Jerry Jordan, kicking the tires.net, PRN. Joe, for you, you made it look easy. What are y'all doing out in Colorado to make these cars faster than where you're getting them from? How are y'all putting this stuff together?
Well, a lot of support from Barney Visser. I got to say that right off the bat. But it's about people, really. We have just a really good group of guys. And I mean, all the teams do, but sometimes you get a group that gels really well and just works really good together. And in particular on the 78 team, the guys have been together for quite a while now. And with Cole's leadership and a few more of the guys at the shop, it just really works well out there. And we have a real isolated, total focus on our program. And I think you see those kinds of results on the racetrack.
You have a question, Bob?
Yeah, Bob Hocker, ESPN. I have two. Either one of you can answer. You guys have three wins. Gibbs has none, and you guys are affiliates, and you work a lot together. Do you ever get a feeling that maybe the information flow might decrease if Gibbs doesn't win?
No, I think Joe's going to do exactly what he said he was going to do, and we both have a full-on share of information, and we both stick to it.
To ask, obviously lots of rumors about 77 team next year. Will they be around? Who will drive, especially with Matt Kenseth saying he probably won't be back at Gibbs next year? Do you know, will you have a 77 team next year, and do you know who will drive?
We have nothing concrete pulled together right now.
Is your hope to have two teams?
Our hope would be to, yeah.
Nate Ryan, NBC Sports. I know it helps having the fastest cars, but you guys have 12 stage wins now with Martin, which is, I think, three times as many as the next closest car or driver. Is there a strategy to that? Did you guys go into the season thinking we can outgame, game the system and outsmart everybody and get more stage wins than everybody else? Or what's happening there, do you think?
No, I don't think it's a total focus on stage wins other than it's a race to win. You look at each stage as an individual race, and you want to win it. And so you do the things that you can to win the stage. There are situations where you might sacrifice. There has been some, especially at the road course in Sonoma, where you might use a strategy that keeps you from winning a stage to help you win the overall race. But I think our mindset has certainly been to win every time we're on the racetrack, these stages. And I got to, again, go back to Cole and our engineering group and the strategy they put together and the calls they make that are really helping push that.
Yeah, we're talking a little bit about race cars here, but let's talk about Martin. You know, I mean, I think, and we've said it before, I think he's peaking right now, and I think I've always thought he was, or for the last year, I thought he was as good as anyone in the garage. I think now he's better than anyone in the garage. I mean, you saw what he did on that last restart, putting it down in turn one, and I mean, he's just that good. I think it's just personal issues with him. Whatever it is, I think he was always better than people thought he was. And he's not driving for money. He's driving for fun. And that's his game.
A question in the press box.
Lee Spencer, Motorsport.com. For Mr. Visser, can you discuss the type of how the relationship has blossomed between Cole and Martin and how much that chemistry plays into the entire team?
Yeah, well, Cole was part of the group that originally picked Martin when he became available. He was the guy that Cole wanted and Joe wanted him. I think it helps Martin to know that these guys really wanted him. And obviously, he's just blossomed here.
And secondly, is it your intention to maintain a second team regardless of what happens next season? Have you been happy with how the corporation has blossomed into two teams, and do you kind of want to stay in that mode?
We'd love to be able to do that, but I'm not sure the finances are going to allow it. We'll see what we're able to put together. There's nothing concrete right now for the second team.
Anything else from the press box?
Nope, we're clear.
Anything down here in the media center? Okay. Barney, Joe, thank you so much. Congratulations on a great win.
Thank you.
Sorry about that, Cole. Okay, we are now joined by Cole Pern, crew chief of the race-winning number 78 Fernturo Toyota. Cole, outstanding race by the 78, and it's a normal thing now. 28 playoff points in the bank. Talk about that, maybe, and the race tonight.
Yeah, obviously, you know, we've been on a good stretch here. Obviously, we got, you know, crashed last week at Daytona and blew a motor at Sonoma, but you know, really, you know, going back to our win at Kansas, we've been on a, you know, a really good stretch of being able to contend for wins every week. And you know, I felt like you know, last year running a similar rules package here, we had a, you know, a really good car as well. So you know, when things are going right and you have a good baseline to work off, it was definitely boded well for confidence. And you know, we really hit it well tonight.
Thank you, Cole. If you have a question for Cole, please raise your hand. We'll get the mic to you, Bob.
Bob Hocker, ESPN. If you were running second to a guy 15 seconds ahead of you, what would you be thinking?
I've been doing the opposite when that caution came. I know that. So I knew I don't know. I knew there was so many lap cars in between us all when that yellow came that they were just going to do whatever we did, you know. And I was going to have to make the call, and they were going to have plenty of time to think about it by the time they had to hit pit road. So I just figured, you know, if we were to come in and pit, you know, you're going to have three or four of them at least stay out, and then all of a sudden you're going to be buried, and there's no chance you're going to get there in two laps. So, you know, although being on old tires out front wasn't, you know, great situation, but it was the better of the two.
I really meant just if you saw on the track, like even before the caution came out, if you just were seeing somebody 15 seconds ahead of you, would you be thinking, what would you be thinking?
I'd say we need to get our work, you know, work together. But I mean, the 42 was strong all night. He just had a lot of up and downs where I don't think he was able to, you know, really show the speed at times. But the way he was able to drive through the field, it was definitely he was a contender. And you know, we qualified well. Made good pit stops, you know, made the right strategy calls, and, you know, just kept it up there all night.
Any other questions for Cole in the media center? Nate?
Nate Ryan, NBC Sports. Cole, I know that having the fastest car certainly helps, but 12 stage wins, and no one else is even close. I think you have three times as many as the next closest driver. Is it by strategy? I mean, tonight, like, you guys took the lead at the end of the first stage. It seemed like with about 10 laps to go, it was well-timed. Is this a strategic thing, or is it just a byproduct of just having a really fast car all the time?
I think a lot of it comes down to qualifying well. You know, I think if you look at our qualifying averages, we've been, really stout that way. You know, definitely our best as a team. So I think, having good track position to start the race is a huge important part of it, you know, and you're able to maintain that. It makes it a lot easier to score stage points for sure. So, we were fortunate to have a good long run car tonight. You know, early in the race, thought the 18 was maybe a little better on the short run. You know, it just took a long time to kind of for him to wear down a bit, and we were able to keep digging. So, I don't know. I don't know if there's any strategy to it or not. I mean, I think there's definitely, you know, a few of those stage wins we've had to make strategy calls to get. But, tonight, you know, that second stage was, you know, sketchy at times. You know, it was staying out. You know, at times we were up to five laps short, and you didn't know if you were going to make it. So having the cautions we did, Martin did a good job saving fuel, and, you know, we were able to make it there. So I think for us that was, you know, probably the most difficult stage for sure. Yeah, I don't think you can have enough. I mean, the best way to get a lead is to keep winning them and not let other people win them. So I think, when we blew a motor at Talladega last fall and took us out of the chase when we were having a great season, it's when this format came about, it was definitely like, all right, you know, this is an opportunity for us to, you know, give ourselves a window to have a bad race in the chase, you know, and still be able to make it through. So the more we have, the better it is. I mean, especially when you get down to that round eight, I mean, you're going to have eight guys that are probably pretty good, you know, playoff point wise. So it's going to not necessarily be easy. You know, that gap may seem big to the guys at 16th, but when you get down to the round eight, that gap's not going to be as big. So the more we can get, the better, I think.
We'll go Jerry and then Gary.
Jerry Jordan, kickingthetires.net and PRN. Cole asked Joe in here, and he said it's chemistry, the reason why you guys are so good. But how are you able to take a car from Joe Gibbs Racing, which was the dominant team for sure last year, and doesn't have a win this year, and can't put something together, it seems like, and then go out there and have such success with your organization out in Colorado, of all things?
It's difficult at times. I feel like a lot of times we're hanging on by a thread, but it's just the way it is. I mean, we got a group out there that we've been together for a while, and, you know, we've been through the lows, and we've sucked, and, you know, we've, had those moments where it's tested all of us. But, you know, when you stick together and, you know, you're all out there, you're not worrying about somebody running down the street to go to a different place for a better deal, and, you know, it just breeds a lot of chemistry. I mean, it breeds family, actually. You know, I mean, I think, you know, we're all there together, you know, whether it's work struggles or personal life struggles, you know, we all wear it together. It's definitely a family atmosphere. So I think when you get everybody committed and a group of people like that, you know, committed to the same goal, it's a unique opportunity for sure.
Go Gary and then over here.
excuse me. Gary Graves, AP. As good as Martin made it, as easy as he made it look, was there ever a concern about anything, you know, really going on, maybe throwing too much out there early during any of his runs?
I really thought, you know, I thought early on, I was like, I don't know. I mean, I feel like we're almost the third place car, you know, the first couple runs of the race. And then it seems as the night came and, you know, the track cooled down a bit, you know, we got stronger. And, you know, really at that point, you just, you know, you're not trying to overthink it. You're trying to make sure you stick to the plan. And we were able to do that. I mean, he did a great job. We've lost a lot of fuel mileage situations, you know, in the last few years, and that's, you know, I think that's the product of being in contention to win races. It makes you better at winning races because, you know, when you lose them in a lot of different forms, you know, you focus on that and get better, and we're able to, you know, be good in a fuel mileage situation, which I think is a huge boost for his confidence and for our team.
Rob Connett from WRX Radio. Cole, obviously you guys have had a fantastic 2017 season. When you joined this team, did you think or imagine you guys would be this dominant? I mean, is this surprising to you in any way?
I don't know. I mean, I kind of got the personality where we just keep working. I mean, obviously, you know, those are moments you're like, wow, that's, you know, we got a good thing going. But it's just fun. I mean, we beat each other up. You know, everybody's equal, and everybody's equal to get beat on. And, you know, we keep all each other honest and, you know, make sure we're all doing it, you know, pulling our weight. So I think you get a whole team like that. It's just really fun.
Any questions in the press box?
Negative.
Go back down here to Nate.
You said there are some days you feel like you're hanging by a thread. What are those days like and why?
It's tough in Colorado. I mean, we got to load, you know, a day early, you know, most weeks. So, you know, we work closely with JGR, and obviously they got a day ahead of us. So our Monday and Tuesdays are pretty much hair on fire most weeks. So it's sometimes amazing. I feel like we make it to the racetrack, but, you know, when we do, we're generally good. So, you know, even this week, just having, you know, Daytona cars had to leave early, and then we just had a little bit more time on the Kentucky cars, and you just feel, all right, you know, we got, you know, we're not missing anything, and, you know, you feel like you're in good shape. So it's a challenge being out there that far, especially this last few weeks with road course cars and speedway cars and then back to a mile and a half. It's a lot of different cars going through the system, especially with two teams now. I mean, it's just, you know, it's double the work, and really it falls on a lot of our key people. So, I can't speak highly enough of the effort they've had to put in. You know, there's been a lot of long hours on our group, and to get this win for them, and it's just retribution to keep them digging.
Try again in the press box. Any last minute questions for Cole?
Yes.
All right.
Lee Spencer, motorsport.com. First of all, do you all build your own chassis?
No, JGR does.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. And also, as dominant as you have been on intermediate tracks, you think that just bodes tremendously well for the chase?
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. I think, you know, it always feels like the chase second time around is a lot different. You know, I look at our performances the last 2 years. I always feel like we do well in the early section of the mile and a half. And then, you know, we're maybe not quite as good, you know, come chase time. I don't know why that is, but it's definitely, you know, something we're focused on and, you know, we'll continue to work to get better at. So I don't think anything's a guarantee. This is a tough competition, you know, in this garage, and I'm sure it's not going to be this stiff, you know, I don't want to say easy, but, this far apart maybe when we come chase time.
Go back down here to media center on the left. Raise your hand, please. Just raise your hand.
Steve Connolly, the podium finish. Cole, was this a new car for this race, or is one that you'd run before? And if not, will we see it again back on the track at another 1 mile and a half coming up?
I think we ran this one at Pocono. It was new at Pocono. We call it the demon car, ironically. Feel like every time we've had it out, it's been something weird. Steering feels weird or something silly all weekend we've been had to fight with. So, you know, we blew a motor up in practice. We only run like 7 laps because it was so horrible at Pocono. And then we came here and it was kind of weird off the truck too. So, I don't know. It got nicknamed the Demon Car in a little bit. So, I don't know when the next time it's out though. Not for a while, probably.
Okay, any other questions for Cole? Great. Thank you, Cole. Congratulations.
Thank you.
On the big win. Martin Truex Jr. should be here shortly while we await the winner. News from the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series garage. Inspection is complete. All clear, no issues. The 78, 42, and the 1 will be going back to the R&D center. Again, inspection is clear, no issues. 78, 42, and 1 going back to the R&D center. I'm sorry. There is one lug nut issue. 18 had one lug nut, not safe and secure. 18, one lug nut. Okay, we are here with the winner of tonight's Quaker State 400. And that is the driver of number 78, Furniture Row, Toyota for Furniture Row Racing, Martin Truex Jr. Martin swept today both stages and the race. Again, 28 playoff points for you, Martin.
Hey, now. How about that?
How about talking about that and the championship potential that lies in those bonus points?
Well, we knew coming into the season they were going to be important. So, I think everybody's goal coming into this year was to try to get as many as possible. I think for us as a team, it's if you look at last year and the laps we led and the things we were able to do, we didn't win as many races as we should have, but we led a lot of laps. And, I feel like we would have got a lot of stage points last year if they were available, but they weren't. So it kind of played into our wheelhouse a little bit, just played into kind of what we've been doing the last couple of years. And so it feels good to have those bonus points. We're going to try to get as many as we can. We know they're going to be important. We could have used a handful of them last year to get through Talladega, so we'll try to keep racking them up. And just proud of everybody for another great weekend and all they're doing, and glad we closed the deal tonight.
Thank you, Martin. If you have a question for Martin, please raise your hand. We'll get your mic. Start in the center here.
Rob Connett from WRX Radio in Madison, Indiana. Martin, two-part question for you. One, when you're running around the track, lapping the whole field, what's going through your mind? Are you singing Kumbaya to yourself or what? And two, can we get a PG version of what was said on the radio when that caution came out with two laps to go?
Honestly, all I said was, oh, man. there was no cursing involved. I wasn't that upset because I kind of seen it coming. I kind of knew, like 60 to go, I was leading. I pretty big lead at that point. And I'm like, there's no possible way that this race is actually going to go this long without a caution. And lo and behold, we came within a third of the racetrack from the white flag. Like, I was literally coming down the backstretch thinking, I'm coming to the white flag. And I could smell somebody's engine blowing up. And I'm like, oh, this isn't good. And then as I was coming to towards turn three, I seen some smoke. And then my spotter said, yeah, caution's out for someone blowing up. And I was like, oh, man. Oh, boy, here we go. Cole, what are we going to do? He's like, oh, man, we got to stay out. So we stayed out. And then I was like, oh, man, everybody pitted. And he's like, we're going to be fine. Don't worry. We're going to be fine. That was really the whole entire caution right there. So here, there's all the insider info.
Go to Bob.
Bob Hocker, CSPN. What would have been more impressive to you, what you did at the Coke 600 or if you had won by 15 seconds tonight?
Well, the Coke 600 is something that, that's history. Nobody's ever done that before. So that was something that was really crazy. And just to even think about it today, it's crazy we did that. So, I mean, I think that stands out there by itself. And in a different way, this is, it's very, very big to be able to do what we did tonight. I think this was probably the best car I've ever had in my entire career. I can never recall saving fuel and pulling away from everybody before. So, I mean, it was pretty amazing. And, just props to my team and everything they're doing. And everything's going good for us right now. So we'll just try to keep that momentum rolling.
Steve Conley, the podium finish. Martin, Kyle Larson gave you a good kick in the tail on that final restart. Do you make that pass of the 18 without that shot?
I really don't know. I mean, it was definitely a big part of that. It was a big help. I was really hoping that that would happen because I honestly all night I had trouble getting a good launch. And any time me and Kyle were side by side, he could literally pull away from me by a car length getting to the start finish line. And I wasn't spinning tires or anything. I just couldn't get going. It just kind of bogged down. So I was a little worried about that. I was trying to do the best I could to make sure I kept Larson or I helped Larson get to my bumper before the start-finish line, not after it, because obviously after the start-finish line, he could have pulled out and made a three wide. But he did a beautiful job. He just, you know, he slammed me in the back, and as soon as he did, I hit the gas, and away we went. So it definitely helped a ton. But I was surprised that once we got clear down into turn one that I could actually pull away from those guys. I thought I was going to have my hands full trying to hold them off, you know, even if we did get to turn one with the lead. But fortunately, we were able to hold them off, so that was pretty awesome.
Jerry?
Jerry Jordan, kickingthetires.net and PRN here. Martin, Colt called that car the demon. Do you get superstitious about cars, and do you want it back?
I have no idea where we even ran that car last, so I just show up and get in them. Yeah, I mean, honestly, the cars nowadays, you could sit in 10 of them, 10 different ones, 10 weeks in a row, you could not tell the difference, literally. So those guys are so good at building them. And, I mean, literally, I think the only thing I ever do anymore is move my mirror because it's never in the right spot for whatever reason. Literally every weekend it's in a different spot, but everything else is perfect. Seat belts, seat, steering wheel, I mean, you name it. It's the gas pedal's the same, the brakes the same. Everything about these things feels the same now. So, yeah, I mean, I don't even know what car this was or where we'd run it before. Yeah.
We'll go Nate, Caleb, and then check in the press box.
Nate Ryan, NBC Sports. Martin, when Cole was in here, he was talking about how there are many days in Colorado when he feels like the team is hanging by a thread and everybody's running around with their hair on fire because they have to get the truck loaded early. You guys basically give up a day being based out there. I guess, like, what, do you see that? Are you in Denver enough to, like, know, like, what the team is going through back there? And two, like, whether you see it or not, like, how do they do it? Like, how are you guys kicking everybody's butt despite being based so far away from everybody?
No, I don't really see it because I don't get there very often. But I hear about it. Cole tells me. I mean, Cole and I talk all the time, and, you know, we text back and forth about, you know, hey, what's going on? What are you up to? You know, how's things? And, you know, how'd last week go? What are we working on? I mean, we just constantly keep in touch about things. But he tells me when things are kind of crazy and when things are going crazy, but we have a great bunch. I mean, I can't tell you how good our guys are at just making sure they do all the things right. I mean, I think our guys are just, they work so hard. They make sure they put in all the effort to get everything as, just as perfect as Cole wants it. They're perfectionists, really. And so I think sometimes Cole makes them burn a little midnight oil to get the cars where he wants them and to get things the way he likes it. And sometimes they work a little more than they expected to, but they all do a great job, and you know, they're willing to put in the hours, and right now it's showing up. So I appreciate all of them. They do an amazing job. It's pretty awesome to see, and it's definitely cool doing it in Denver, you know, out there all by yourself. I think our truck leaves probably a day or two before everybody else's most times, so short turnarounds. They have to work hard, work long nights, and you know, hard work pays off.
Caleb Whistler, Speedway Digest. Brad Keselowski had very strong and stern words about the car design. Do you feel like it's time to go to a Gen 7?
Out of where? Because he got crashed tonight?
Basically, yes.
I mean, he's on the driver's council. He was a big part of the lower downforce, and he's a big part of whatever, you know, the direction everybody's going. So, yeah, he was probably just mad because he got wrecked.
Okay, any questions in the press box, and we'll come back down to the media center. Press box questions.
Chris Knight, catchfence.com. Martin Barney was in here a little while ago, and he said that he felt like you were peaking right now in your, as far as your driving career. And last year he thought you were as good as anybody, but now he thinks that you're better. What does that mean? Do you have an owner that believes in you so much like Barney Visser and your relationship with him?
It means a ton to me, honestly. Barney's been an awesome owner. He's been great to work for. You know, back in 2014, we were running awful. We could barely run 20th. And, you know, I think our best runs of the year were, you know, maybe top 10s. And, you know, Sherry got sick and was doing, you know, battling cancer. And he said, if you need to stay home a couple weeks and take care of her, this car will be here when you get back. He never skipped a beat. He said, we're here for you. This is your team. You're going to drive this car. And that meant a lot to me. And after not long after that, we got things turned around. And yeah, I'm sure that was part of it. You know, just that belief that he had in me, that thought in the back of my mind that, man, this guy's really, you know, this is a really awesome guy. I'm really lucky to be working for him. And, you know, I'm going to make sure I do all I can to help this team get going in the right direction. So he gives our guys all they need, all the tools, all the things they need to make these cars fast. And he gives them a great work environment in Denver. He takes care of them all like family. And we're all lucky to drive his I'm lucky to drive his race car, but we're all lucky to work for such a great guy that takes care of his employees and enjoys racing as much as he does.
Jared McDonald, Maysville Ledger Independent. Obviously, you don't want the caution with just a couple laps to go, but how much do you think that impacts NASCAR in terms of the fan base, keeping fans engaged, having that exciting restart to end?
Well, in this case, there was no debris. So, I mean, it was legit. There was oil all over the place. So let's not even talk about it. I was really happy that they waited that long. I was honestly somewhat a little bit surprised that there wasn't a caution somewhere in there, but definitely good to see that. There was a race a couple weeks ago where it went long, and it went a long green flag run there, and I guess it was Sonoma. I was happy to see them, you know, let the race play out, even though, you know, Harvick had a huge lead, you know, because we blew up. It was cool just to see the race play out. We seen guys pit for tires that were running up front, and, you know, everybody thought they were going to finish 20th, and they came back and finished, you know, up front. So sometimes you let the races play out, and things happen that you didn't expect, and it's kind of neat to see. So tonight there was oil out there.
Any more from the press box?
Yes, Martin, Steve Swartz at the Lasco Press. You said you asked, or when the caution came out, you asked Cole, what do we do now? And he responded, we stay out. Was that an immediate response, or did he have to think about it a minute?
It sounded to me like he didn't have to think about it. I mean, he basically said, I can't see anybody pitting here. So when he said that, I knew we were staying out. And, you know, typically when you're the leader and you've dominated a race and you decide to do something, everybody else is going to do the opposite. And so I felt okay about the position we were in. I was a little nervous about it just because we hadn't had a restart on that old of tires all night long. But I did try my best to really kind of manage my tires that last run for probably the last 40 laps or so, just thinking, okay, there's probably at some point going to be a restart, a caution for whatever reason. And we're not going to want to pit because guys we know will stay out if we pit. So I kind of tried towards the end, last 40 or 50 laps, to try just to not abuse my car, not hurt my tires in case we had to have a restart. And, you know, we did, and fortunately it worked out for us.
Any more from the press box?
That's it.
Okay, we'll go back down to the media center with Jessica.
Jessica Ruffin with NASCAR.com. It seems like every week it's you and Kyle Larson, you know, at halfway point in the race and then at the end contending for the win and then even in the point standings. What do you make of that, and do you think he's your biggest competition heading into the playoffs?
Well, he's definitely going to be great competition. He's a very talented driver. He's got a great team right now. He still hasn't thanked me for making Chad Johnson a crew chief in the Sprint Cup Series. You know, everybody, he was my crew chief at MWR a couple years ago. Awesome guy, a very good friend of mine, and he's my neighbor now as well, so I talk to him a lot. But I think Chad has just brought a lot to the table for that team, for Kyle, and now Kyle's able to show his talent. So I'm really happy for those guys. I'm happy for Chad especially. But it's been fun to race with Kyle. Obviously, he's very talented. He's He's up front every single week. He's fast everywhere we go. I expect he'll be a challenge throughout the rest of the year, and it should be fun to race with him.
Bob, did you have a question?
Bob Pockers, ESPN. I don't know how much you're comfortable in telling us yet, but Sherry tweeted that she had a procedure this week for a recurrence. You know, can you say, like, when did you find out about it, and what's kind of the prognosis?
We found out a while ago about it. You know, tonight was she went in this weekend to have some surgery done. Everything went perfectly good, went as planned. She's I'm going to bring her home tomorrow, so excited to get home and see her, and everything's going great. Oh, yeah. As soon as I got out of the car, I had one of my guys call her. She was pretty excited.
We'll go over here to Jim.
Jim Hunter, motorsport.com. I don't think you would argue that you are enjoying the best years of your NASCAR career. What does that say, sort of? There's a lot of talk about young guys and stuff and people with talent and money and so forth, but how important is it to be in the right situation, and how much does that really matter when it comes to deciding what your career is going to look like?
It's being in the right situation is a huge part of it. I mean, we've seen it forever. I mean, for a long time, it's a lot of about communication. It's about getting with the right group of people. You can have all the money in the world and the best, you know, all the best equipment and parts and pieces, and if you don't have the right guys together and the right driver together with all those guys, it's not going to be successful. So I'm very lucky to be in the position I'm in. I've been on the other side of it. You know, hell, 5 years ago, I thought my career was over, you know. And so you fight hard to try to get in a good position. I've been fortunate to have an awesome bunch of people around me from top to bottom. And, you know, honestly, this team I'm with now, it was my only option at one point. And I thought, oh, man, we'll see what we can do with it. And here we are. So sometimes it's just meant to be. And in this case, it was. But it's everything. You know, without the right team, without the right people around you, you know, it's hard to be successful. So I'm very thankful for the guys I have and what we have going on right now.
Go Mark and then Jerry.
Mark Story, Lexington Herald Leader. Martin, you were really fast here last year, and it sort of, you know, got away. Was that motivating? Did you draw confidence from that? And, you know, did that, you know, carry over at all?
I think it carried over because, you know, if you look at it, they repaved the track again, so it was similar to last year. Tires a little different, but same rules package, more or less. And we were really fast last year, felt good about that. And, you know, obviously we've had a whole year now to work on these race cars with this package and kind of figure them out and feel like this kind of racetrack kind of suits us. So we felt good coming in, and we definitely remembered last year, the one that got away on fuel mileage. And so it was a little bit of motivation, but I think every time we come to the racetrack, we want to win. We don't show up to run second. We show up to win and do the best job we can. And I feel like these days, especially this year, that every week we do show up, we're capable of it. So that's fun. It's I can't tell you how excited I am to go to the racetrack each and every weekend, just to see what we have, to see the guys, see what they've been working on, and try to put it all together. So glad tonight we were able to do that.
We'll wrap it up with Jerry.
Jerry Jordan, KickingTheTires.net and PRN. You brought up MWR, and I was going to follow up with Jim's question. You know, 5 years ago we talked to you, and it was you were probably at one of the lowest points in your career. You were bummed out and didn't know what you were going to do. Now this meteoric rise to where you're at. You've competed last year. You almost made the final round. What would it mean to you that to go out, you know, to win it this year, to win the championship, and see where that has taken you from? Whether you were at the lowest low to what would be the highest high?
Well, professionally, it'd mean everything. I mean, that's what I've worked my whole career for, you know, in racing, is to be a champion, be a Monster Energy Series champion. So it would mean a lot. It'd be very rewarding. I would say that it wouldn't change me. It wouldn't change who I am, it wouldn't really change my life, but it would be, you know, it'd be a hell of an accomplishment for my career. So we're going to try our best. I feel like we have a good shot at it. We've consistently been a front runner the last couple of years, and hopefully that continues. We'll do our best.
Okay, congratulations, Martin. If I could
ask you
to stick around for
Thanks,
a Twitter
everyone.
Chat. Those watching on NASCAR.com, if you want to ask Martin a question on Twitter, hashtag AskTruexJr.